And I thought, well, I'm certified. I can get this job. Turns out, no, that's not how it works. 200 or 300 applications in and didn't get a single interview.
Hi, I'm Anita Smith.
I'm Bradley Rice.
And you're listening to the Salesforce for Everyone podcast.
In today's show, we're here with a very special episode live from Camp Talent Stacker.
We are bunked two to a room. We've got people waking each other up in the morning, and it's a really magical thing.
Also, we explore the grit you need to shine in the job market. And let's hear Anita Smith.
I met with their clients that afternoon, and I had the job offer like that weekend.
That's not an example of a normal job market. Welcome back to the Salesforce for Everyone podcast. In today's episode, it's going to be a pretty special occasion because we are actually live at the first ever Camp Talent Stacker in Denton, Texas. With me today, as always, we have Anita Smith. So first, I would like to welcome our live audience. If you guys don't mind just letting us know you're here.
Oh my goodness. Hi, everyone. I'm Anita Smith. This camp has been incredible so far. I just want to thank everyone who came, who helped set up, Alex for pretty much running the entire show. Thank you, Alex. To give you a bit of a feel of what it's like here, we're not at a fancy luxury hotel. It is a camp.
We're camping.
We're not in tents. I would describe it as a motel, but the vibe here is just incredible. Such a strong community. I don't know. I've just had chills the whole weekend being able to meet people for the first time that I've known for years, that I've worked with for years. It's just such an incredible feeling to be here.
If you're listening, you can imagine like LinkedIn and then it suddenly becomes real life. And all these people that have been virtual and they've been people who have mentored us, we've mentored them, we've all gone on this journey together in a lot of ways. We know that Talent Stackers had an impact on a lot of these individuals. And a lot of times they don't realize the impact that they've had on us. And to sort of riff off what you were saying, I mean, when we talk about community, this is a community event. We are eating breakfast, lunch, and dinner together at a dining hall. We are bunked two to a room. We've got people waking each other up in the morning like, hey, I don't know if your alarm's set, but it's time for breakfast. Like that is a different type of relationship building. And it's a really magical thing where, you know, last night, campfire down at the lake, enjoying time together. And I think anytime you pass that 5 p.m. time on the clock, and usually that's when you're wrapping it up with these people in your professional life, you suddenly find yourself becoming that friend and that true beyond work relationship, which I think has just been really incredible.
So the audience doesn't know what we're going to talk about today, but we've got a couple of volunteers with us who wanted to be guests on today's show. We have Allie McCarron, Keegan McGoldrick, and Amy Morris. Welcome to the show. Thank you so much for joining us today.
All right. So the theme today, obviously, we are aware on this podcast, and I think the entire ecosystem is relatively aware that really since early 2023, maybe late 2022, the vibe in the ecosystem has started to shift, right? And so while we love to remain positive and focus on the positive and all the amazing things that are happening, because amazing things are happening every single day, there are some realities in the ecosystem, right? And we're all aware that, man, we sat here and watched our very own beloved Salesforce lay off staff, right? And we watched that trickle throughout the entire Salesforce ecosystem. And really, a lot of the global job market, we watched coworkers, friends, people that we had worked with, Talent Stacker members who were alumni, and then suddenly we were helping them land their second job instead of that first job. So we were all adapting together as a community. And we're at this place now where, yes, the job market has shifted. I would say that the job market has tightened in a lot of ways, right? Now, I would also say, this might be my personal opinion, that my definition and maybe a lot of definitions of what saturation is a very different word. A market going from booming to tightening is not saturation. So we are very aware of the realities of what are happening. And we're also very aware of what's happening in the ecosystem. We hear the stories, right? We get the support emails. We have the individuals comment and DM and let us know what they're feeling. I mean, we've taken on that responsibility of a lot more than helping people get into careers. There's a lot of emotions. There's a ride that comes with this. It's massive. And so we have people like with us today, like Ish Ortega, again, Alex Warnicki, that are behind the scenes fielding a lot of those emails that we get, myself, and I know a lot of people in DMs getting those emails and messages, just, I'm struggling. I'm going through something. I'm scared. Is this the right direction? Is this still the right direction? A lot of those conversations. So today, I think what we want to do is take a moment to realize that there is a truth to the fact that the market has tightened. It is not the same today as it was in 2020, in 2021. But I can tell you with a straight face and with complete honesty that I cannot tell you a better alternative. If I were going to recommend a career path to someone today, this is the career path I would recommend them, because I cannot recommend you a path that, number one, you can still get into today. And we'll talk about that in just a little bit and some of those stories, or a path that I think has the upside that the Salesforce ecosystem has, being on the front of the AI revolution or evolution that is happening. And there's a lot of opportunity in the Salesforce space. It just may not be that you write a LinkedIn post and somebody sends you a DM and invites you to come interview anymore, right? So let's shift over. We're going to have some amazing guests on, like Anita just mentioned, and we're going to have an opportunity to hear some of their struggles, because we want to bring to light the fact that you can struggle and you can go through a period of doubt. You can have moments where you're not sure if this is where you really thought you were headed. And then you can take a step forward and you can focus on what you can do next and the positives that are in front of you. And you will find yourself in an incredible place if you're patient and you take that next step. So who is our first guest of the day?
I think Keegan's story is really, really good. Do you mind sharing it?
Absolutely. So I'm Keegan McGoldrick. So a little bit about my story. I am currently a senior BA with a government consulting firm for Salesforce. And I've been working with this company since March of 2023. So, you know, not quite at a full year yet, or just approaching that now. And really am enjoying my role as a BA.
Awesome. Thank you. All right, Allie.
Hi there. I'm Allie McCarron, and I am a Salesforce consultant with a Salesforce partner consultancy, and I'm about to reach my four-month mark. I mostly work with formal projects, and I'm really excited to learn more about discovery, about UAT, and getting to work on the iterative builds to basically help businesses improve their processes. It's been a lot of fun so far.
Thank you, Allie. And finally, Amy.
Hello, I'm Amy Morris. I actually started my Salesforce job just 4 weeks ago after a long journey, and I'm a Salesforce consultant at a Salesforce consulting partner in Montreal, Canada. So it's been a long journey for me, and I've been really excited to step into my first Salesforce consulting role.
All right, awesome. So I have a question for you, Allie. I've had the opportunity to hear a lot of stories at camp, and for this podcast specifically, we let the theme emerge once we got here. This was not planned. We thought about, like, what could we talk about? What would be great to talk about? We kind of tried to plan it before, and we knew our fallback would just be, hey, we can talk about community, and what better place to talk about community than live at Camp Talent Stacker? But we also were open-minded to the fact that hopefully when you get together with people and you spend all day and all night with them and breakfast, lunch, and dinner, that the story will emerge on its own, and that will naturally occur for us. And I believe it did. And that's why we're focused on what we're focused on today. So I know a lot of your stories, but I've only heard the tip of the iceberg. So Allie, for you, I would love to hear, was it always a smooth ride when we talk about going from, I learned about Salesforce and then I just got a job and it was great. And what a wonderful thing. Like, we know that that's not typical. So were there moments during that journey where you either doubted what was happening, or, you know, felt those moments of unsuredness of like, is this going to happen, or am I going to have to like figure out what's next for me? And maybe that next thing is not Salesforce. Did you have moments like that?
Honestly, from the very start, somebody very dear to me recommended Salesforce in the first place because I wasn't happy where I was. And from there, I just started piddling around on Trailhead, did a few badges, thought it was really interesting. The more I dove in, the more interested I became. And I thought, well, maybe I'll go ahead and try this, see if I can get certified. It took me 3 tries to pass the admin certification, which was really my first real stumbling block. It was something that was a real struggle for me. And I honestly almost gave up before that 3rd try. And it ended up that I had a really good support group, both with Talent Stacker. I was with Talent Stacker at that time. And I did have a growing community of professional peers who were cheering me on, providing resources, quizzing me, and I was able to finally pass that first marker.
Then I had to jump into the job market. And I thought, well, I'm certified. I can get this job. Turns out, no, that's not how it works. So I got to about 200 or 300 applications in and didn't get a single interview. And I thought, oh man, well, maybe I don't have the chops to do this. And again, my community really came and helped me. It was Talent Stacker. Eventually, it was the Clicked program. And even outside of Salesforce, I had community groups that were doing their best to support me, making sure that I still had cash flow because I had quit my job and I was running out of savings. And it got to the point where about 2 or 3 months before I finally landed this position that I thought, this is it. I'm going to have to abandon Salesforce. But then I had a stroke of luck and I'm very happy that I took the journey that I did. And then I was able to become more resilient with those stumbling blocks and get to where I am today.
Thank you so much for sharing your story. I know there's a lot of people out there currently listening who's going through the same thing, applying to hundreds of jobs. If you could give them one piece of advice, what would it be?
Build your community. And that's more than just networking on LinkedIn. You know, find a mentor, find somebody you can become Salesforce besties with. I know mine is in the audience right now. She's been an amazing fairy godmother, sister, just general cheerleader. And I definitely benefited from having her learning alongside me and supporting me and telling me, yes, you can do this.
Was there a pivotal moment for you? Obviously, there is the pivotal moment of, oh, I got a job offer, right? But I think for those out there that are going through that, right, they can resonate. I can feel that people, there's a wave of people out there that are going to resonate with what you just said. You start with certifications and that struggle. And we all know, I mean, I've heard at camp the last couple of days, that admin certification is a beast. You come out of grade school or college or whatever else, and you're doing your thing. And this admin certification is no joke. And for some people, that's not going to resonate with them. They're like, oh, I passed it first try. This is really tough. And it's like, that's awesome. That's really great that that happened for you. But for a lot of people, that is not a reality. And then you move on. Wow, you've got that milestone behind you. And even when you said it, you could hear like that breath of fresh air. Like, I made it. I made it over the hurdle. And now it's time to go apply for jobs and put this certification to use. And I'm off to the races just to get slapped in the face again. When does this thing let up? And I think there's a thread there that landing a Salesforce job is a big deal for a lot of people. We're talking about autonomy at work. We're talking about flexibility. We're talking about being respected by your coworkers, by your peers. And we're talking about income levels that are beyond what I think most people would think is normal, right? That can you really make six figures in X amount of time? Can you really start off at $60,000, $70,000? It's like median US income. And you start there? The ceiling is just beyond recognition, at least for my world. I know some people, their experience is different, but my experience with money, if you make $150,000, that is wild. And the fact that that is like a clear path in this space, it's incredible. So there is a journey and it is not easy. And I want people to know that because something's amazing and because there's a clear path to success and there's a prescribed method, right, that we follow to a degree, right? We probably have the 70% dialed out and there's another 30% of nuance and all the things that happen for individuals. And it's not easy. And I don't think anyone should go into this thinking, I'm just going to breeze through. I'm going to get my job. I'm going to make a bunch of money and get my promotions. And it's going to be an amazing thing. But if it were that way, that would stink because the market would totally be wiped out. We'd have everybody doing it. It would drive all the prices down for what we get paid. And then this wouldn't be worth talking about. You wouldn't want to listen to this podcast because it's not interesting because these jobs aren't that awesome anymore. So the fact that it's difficult, the fact that you have to put in work, that you have to challenge yourself, separate yourself from other people, that is what makes landing the job, just like all three of you guys did, that much more exceptional. Like, you are the ones, right? So for people going through that and they're getting to this point of they're applying for the jobs, and you said hundreds of jobs, right? And we've seen those posts and some people have experienced that and other people are like, I don't know about hundreds, but like a lot, but we're talking hundreds, like the real deal. Is there something that shifted in the way that you were applying? You mentioned the network, but did something shift with the way you're applying? And do you mind dialing in on that story of like, how did you come about that job, that final job that gave you the offer?
I would say that the turning point really started when I started following Jody Herbeck and hearing her talk again and again about building your demo orgs and building. So I said, okay, I kind of have a couple of ideas. So I started building, and I started at first with screenshots. Then I created a small YouTube channel where it was more of a how I built it, and I showed what my use case was, the user stories. It was kind of inspired by my experiences on Clicked, and I was able to get a little bit of traction there. And then Jody actually invited me to present on one of her demo jams. And I ended up with a prize of best presentation, and that garnered a lot of attention. It didn't get me the job, but it honestly showed me that maybe I can do this because I got so much positive feedback. I was honestly surprised. I thought, well, I'm just doing this for fun. I'm building this org because potentially this community that I work very closely with is interested in Salesforce, and maybe I can get something out of that. And from that presentation and the positive encouragement I received, I was able to work with my network, and somebody who worked at a company I wasn't able to get into the first time was able to refer me to my current company.
Oh my God, that's amazing. And I'm just making the connection now. I think I watched that demo org live, and yeah, you deserved winning that. It was incredible. I mean, I guess through the interview process with this company, were you able to show your demo org, or what was the whole process like? I mean, you had this newfound confidence. How was that process?
It was an interesting process in that I started interviewing with this company from the recommendation of somebody in my network who introduced me to someone highly placed, started the conversation, had the introduction, and then things kind of slowed down a little bit, and they were very transparent about that. They were taking their time to find the right person. And somewhere in the middle, I started interviewing with another company. And I thought, well, why not? Let's just see how this goes. There's no guarantees until you sign the offer letter. And even then, there's no guarantee. So I ended up actually getting a job offer from the other company first and said, you know, let's see what I can get out of this. And I asked for a little bit of time, was transparent about saying, you know, I have another set of interviews coming up. Can I have a little time to make the best decision for myself? They said, sure, we'll give you 2 weeks. So I went to my company and said, hey, I got a job offer, but you're the ones I really want to work for a lot of reasons. Is there any way we can potentially accelerate the process? They came back and said, sure. And within a week, I had another interview and I had a really great conversation. I won't say this person's name, but they're a really wonderful coworker. I'll go ahead and say that. I had a great conversation. I felt like things went well. And I ended up mentioning that I had done the demo jam. And he said, oh, interesting. I would really like to see that. So I sent him the cut video of the demo jam. And within a few days, I'd received that job offer and was able to accept it.
So you end up with 2 job offers in the end and communicating with the employer if they can go ahead and speed that process up along and get you that second offer. So that's amazing. And I think, you know, there's that weight that is lifted. I think if you're listening, I believe it'll come across in the audio and the podcast that, like, wow, what a transition, right? Like, we focused a lot on struggle. And I hope that you can feel that we went into that somber mode, right? Like, we went there with you and then we came out of it with you. And I think as we go through this episode, I want the listeners to understand that there are moments in life. We're not talking about a career change. There are ups and downs in every journey that you're going to go on. And the downs make the ups. That's what makes the ups that special, right? So going through that moment, and now you're here and you get to sit here and tell this story and you made it. And I want to point out too, if you didn't pick up, everyone landed a job within the last, I know Amy was like a month ago, but everyone is within the last year. So note that the stories that we're hearing is within the time period that we would say, quote, if you go online, if you look on socials, if you read the latest blog articles and whatever else, the hardest time to land a job ever in the history of Salesforce jobs. These are the toughest struggles that you're hearing, right? Like, this is it. We're going through the journey with them. So I think it's amazing because if you're feeling this, if you're feeling parts of this, if you're resonating with parts of this, we're in this together, right? Like, when the going gets tough, we don't separate and pull each other down and focus on the negative and focus on how just everything's awful, right? We can do that. And you'll end up in a place where I don't think you want to be. Or we can pull together tighter than ever because times are tighter than ever. And I think that's what we should be doing. I think the people who pull together, I think you're going to hear a lot about networking. I think you're going to hear a lot about community today. I think you're going to hear about people taking their energy and instead of focusing their energy on what I can't do and why it's hard, you're going to hear people focusing their energy on how to put our heads together, how to focus in, how to use our networks, how to use our relationships. And by working together instead of in silos, among other things, we are going to find our way to success. And they always say, like, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. And I think you figure out who's tough. That's what you figure out. You're going to see some people who are not tough, and it is going to show. It is going to show just a bright light. They're not tough because they're not getting going. They're actually, I guess you could say they're getting going. They're leaving, right? And we are getting going. So I think we're talking to three really tough people today. And I think if you want to succeed in this space during the toughest time in this ecosystem, you better decide if you want to get tough or not, right? So we can move along now. Next up, we've got Keegan, if you don't mind. We'll ask you a few questions. And I think similar to what we were talking to Ali about, were there moments during your process of, I always think of this as finding out that Salesforce is a thing and then landing a job, like it's A and B, and that path from point A to point B, were there points when you were, these are some pretty down moments happening here, like where do we go next?
Yeah, so definitely for me, when I started my Salesforce journey, I found out about Trailhead and about Salesforce certifications, and I completed the admin trail mix, and I had found out about Talent Stacker. I did the 5-day challenge. I wasn't quite ready to sign up just yet, but I went ahead and had my first attempt at the admin exam, and I did not pass. I was really hard on myself about it. I've always been a pretty good test taker, and so I decided to go ahead and join Talent Stacker for some resources and just some guidance in how to really get over that hump and pass that exam, because that was really important to me. It was a goal that I had, and I wanted to make sure that, you know, I had support as I was going through that. I started a study group with Talent Stacker, and I had probably at first about 10 people that were coming once a week, and we were all going through that together. I had somebody in my study group who I really appreciated. He made some flashcards that I was using to study for the exam. So, you know, I was ready, went into my second attempt, and did not pass the exam. And I only missed it by 2 questions that second time. So I knew I was close, but I got some more resources and I did the build along somewhere in there. But ultimately, I ended up taking the exam a total of 5 times before I passed. And so, yeah, definitely before I got all the way there, there were times where I really just felt like I was ramming my head against a wall, you know, and I'm like, I'm 1 question away from passing. I'm so close. And I just was determined that I was going to do 1 thing every working day to get closer towards passing that exam. So, you know, I kept going with Trailhead, studying other resources, getting a badge a day was a goal that I had. But ultimately, I was able to get there on my 5th attempt and I passed by 1 question. So,
oh my God, congratulations.
Thank you.
5 times.
Yes.
Was there any point you're like, okay, by this number, if I don't pass, I'm done?
I think I was just really set on getting there. I knew that I would make it, and I was so close each time. I was like, it's really just going to be which questions am I getting if I'm going to pass or not. That's how it ended up working out for me. I did the targeted studying, looking at the areas where I scored the lowest, but I had a different result on the categories I was scoring low in each time. Ultimately, it was just persistence. I had to keep at it, you know?
So persistence. Did that continue on your job search?
Definitely. So right after I passed the admin exam, I went ahead and took my BA exam a week later, and I passed that on the first attempt with flying colors, thankfully. And since I was targeting BA roles, that was a little bit of a confidence boost for me that I was kind of looking in the right area. I knew that the admin path probably was not going to be where I wanted to be, but at the time, the admin cert was required before you could get your BA. Right after I passed my BA exam, then they lifted the admin prerequisite requirement. So I'm glad that it happened for me that way, because I think ultimately in my journey with interviewing, I had the background and that certification to get me to the job that I have now.
What was that like? Was it smoother after you got into, like, you know, we just got off of talking to Ali about, you know, 100+ applications. Was your process smoother than that? How did that go from applying for jobs to interviewing to job offer? Did you also end up with 2 job offers in the end of the story? Or, like, how does that go?
So in the beginning, I did apply for some jobs before I had passed the admin exam.
but I hadn't really updated my resume the talent stacker way quite yet. I had an old resume format that was very pretty, very attractive, but it had two columns, and I don't think that it was passing through the ATS and being picked up by the algorithm, so that I don't think recruiters were really seeing it. But then after I passed my exam, then I was able to focus in on the job search. I used the Talent Stacker resume template, and I was very happy with the results of that. I started getting contacts from recruiters and just getting reached out to a bit more along the way. And so ultimately, I had kind of two rounds of interviews that I went through, and both of them, I was interviewing with three different companies at the same time. The first round of interviews, I had ultimately two companies that were not meeting what I needed for a job. They were going to be hybrid or just really weren't the schedule that I was looking for. And then in the second round, I ultimately had one company that ended up not pursuing me past the second interview. I had a company that I actually flew out to Dallas to interview with, and they wanted me to relocate, and I wasn't willing to do that. But then finally, I did get reached out to by a recruiter. I had applied on Glassdoor, and then he contacted me on LinkedIn to request an interview. So, you know, he was reviewing my LinkedIn profile, and I had already had it updated, and everything was ready to go, and I responded to him right away. So I think that really worked in my advantage.
I'm giddy because I helped like develop this stuff for the branding, and happy it worked for you.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, there's so many elements to this, right? I think a lot of times when we talk about it, it's like, oh, and you study and you get a certification and then the resume and you network on LinkedIn and apply for jobs. But hey, make sure you're ready for those interviews. And here's how you use a job search strategy instead of just clicking apply, 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 right? Seeing it all come together is really special. And I think your story resonates with the idea that this is very much like a puzzle. I was here, like Dave Massey always mentions, like a jigsaw puzzle. And it does remind me of that when like you're putting a puzzle together and it's so blatantly obvious when you're choosing not to put a piece in, right? When you're looking at it and there is a hole in it. And I think if you can look at your job search or this entire process of landing a Salesforce job that way, that these are all pieces that you're putting into a puzzle. You know, I hear people say like, I'm not a social person. I don't really want to be on LinkedIn. But LinkedIn might have been your saving grace in that moment. And there's so many people who are like, I don't want to be on LinkedIn. So guess what would have happened to them? Like, you apply on Glassdoor and the recruiter, what's the first thing they do? They see your application. They go, all right, solid. This person looks okay. Let me look them up on LinkedIn. And it's a blank avatar picture or an unfilled out, no skills endorsed. I bet you don't get a DM on LinkedIn, right? That job search is over. And I think there's so many people going, but I applied for so many jobs. Why am I not getting an offer? And it's because you have an unfinished puzzle, right? They look at your puzzle and they go, you didn't put the rest of the pieces in. I'll hire the person that puts the pieces in. And so we're relatively prescriptive at Talent Stacker. Like, we've got a process, but we also understand people do things themselves, right? Like, they find ways, they come up with creative ways that they want to do things. And that's the beauty of it. We're all different. But there is also that reality that if you choose to say like, I know better, or I think I can do this other way, you might be right, but you might be wrong. And if you're asking for guidance, then take the guidance. And there's been a lot of really successful people. So I think it's worth saying, may as well try the things that have worked for them. And if that doesn't work for you, then maybe you know better and you can work it out. But otherwise, follow through. So that's amazing. I just wanted to point out some of the things I was hearing. So hopefully the audience can resonate with that too. Thank you for sharing your story.
I'll introduce the next one. Amy, she has an incredible story. I got to know her when we went to Dreamforce and we stumbled upon a secret concert. It was so much fun. She is one of those people that are she's contagious to be around. She has such a fun personality and I am just so impressed by her attitude in life. So Amy, can you tell us about your journey?
Yeah, for sure. And Anita, I just want to say that hanging with you at Dreamforce was really fun and the secret concert. Dreamforce is definitely an event to go to if you like big events, first of all, because big events aren't for everyone. But either way, there's ways to get involved in the community, which I'll touch on later. But just to introduce myself, I was introduced to Salesforce almost 2 years ago, and I just started my job 4 weeks ago. So you can see, not for everyone are you going to land a job super fast. But for what worked for me is kind of that persistence and knowing that this was what I wanted to do no matter how long the journey took. So I was introduced to Salesforce in May of 2022, and it was because of my passion for networking and meeting new people. I've been laid off twice. So, I mean, over the last few years, we've seen layoffs have been happening, and I had been working in sales at technology companies, mostly startups. So at the time, I was unemployed, looking to just meet new people because I didn't think applying for jobs, like just applying and trying to submit more applications was the best way to go about it. And as someone who likes to meet new people and network, I ended up stumbling across a Salesforce Trailblazer community group event. And there's community groups everywhere in the Salesforce ecosystem. And that was one of the events I ended up going into, mostly because I knew Salesforce was a technology. I'd worked in the technology space. I was curious, what is this? So went to that event and learned a bit about Salesforce and some of the people involved in that community. And everyone was really nice and seemed to be supporting each other. Two of my biggest takeaways from that event were, go on Trailhead, get your admin certification. I took that to heart. The next day I was on Trailhead and I really enjoyed that way of learning. I loved that it was easy to follow and it seemed like a skill that I could learn and make something out of rather than stick in sales, which at the time in the kind of roles I was in, it was cold calling, cold emailing. I wanted something a bit more hands-on and Salesforce seemed like that path for me. So after that, I did still take a new sales job after that, but I was using Salesforce as an end user. So that helped that as I was learning the Salesforce platform, I was an end user as well. I think if you can even just get an experience like that, if you're having trouble, that can help you stand out as you're looking for your first Salesforce admin or Salesforce consultant job. And then after about 8 months of that other job, I started to really get serious about my Salesforce job search again. And actually, Ali had mentioned earlier the demo jam that's hosted by Jody Herbeck. I also heard about that and how building a demo org can really help you in your journey. So I also built a demo and did the demo jam. I was actually in the demo jam, the one that happened after Ali's. So I participated in that and I also won one of the top prizes. So you can just create a demo, but showing off those skills in some way. That was one way that helped me stand out. The other way, what you might have heard from Ali and Keegan as well, is community. And like I said, I stumbled upon Salesforce at one of the Trailblazer community events. And another thing that helped me was getting more involved in that community. I started going to those community group events really often. People got to know me. I was someone who enjoyed meeting new people, like I was saying. And that led to me also starting Salesforce Saturdays in my local community. And if you haven't heard of Salesforce Saturdays, it's something that's going on in several different cities around the world. But it wasn't happening in my local city. It's a weekend study group for people wanting to expand their Salesforce skills. So I started that in my local community, which also led me to be nominated, I guess, to co-lead one of the Trailblazer community groups as well. So kind of getting involved in ways like you can post on LinkedIn, you can create a demo org. There's a few different ways. And one of the ways that helped me as well a lot and actually led to me later on getting more than one job offer was being active in my local community and user groups. So by February of 2024, I had three job offers. Two of them were more directly involved with my involvement in the local community. One of them was from a local ISV partner of Salesforce, which is like an independent software vendor who sells like extensions of Salesforce on the Salesforce AppExchange. They wanted me to be like a solution engineer almost. So like demoing their product, which is like in Salesforce. Another one was also from the local community groups. It was a consultancy that had hosted one of the community group events. So I was able to meet a lot of people at that company, including some of the main managers of the Salesforce consulting team at that company. So getting to know those people had led to them seeing who I was as a person, not just that I was a resume being submitted to a job. So that was two of the offers. I actually had three. The other one did come from me just applying directly. And that company wasn't even based in my local city. That would have been a remote job. But what helped with that one was actually, like I said, before I had participated in the demo jam, my more technical interview for that job happened 3 days before the demo jam. At that point, I was confident enough in my ability to build something in Salesforce that I was able to prove to them that I can build in Salesforce. So I had also sent them the recording of the demo jam. So they'd seen that. They'd seen that I had the technical skills. So from that, I got a job offer from that, as well as the other two job offers, and made my decision on that.
Amazing. So what I'm getting from this and what people listening probably should go create a demo org if you have it and record a little demo and post it on YouTube, because that seems to be a key factor in landing these jobs.
Yeah, I totally agree. Obviously, you cannot disagree with the fact that we see themes, they just appear, right? So that's an amazing thing to point out. And it's hindsight 2020, right? It's like, oh yeah, like Of course, if I give employers a way to visibly see what I'm capable of, that's a lot better than just talking about theoreticals in an interview, right? So obviously, big shout out to Jody for facilitating for the community a way for people to feel comfortable going out and seeing examples and watching others and getting confidence through watching others, putting themselves out there and being confident. And what does a demo look like, right? Like, it's one thing to say, like, go build a demo, go build an org, and then make a recording of it and show it to somebody, right? It's another thing to see your community and total beginners build stuff that some of it's kind of like, oh man, you wanted to demo that? And then other stuff is like, wow, you're entry level? Like, are we sure? But seeing all that come together, we need the spectrum of seeing those to understand, like, where do I stand? Could I build that? Could I do that? Should I put myself out there? And then we get that idea of what does a good demo look like? Because we talk a lot about portfolios and go on Trailhead and build a portfolio and follow the trails. Yeah, but what goes in the portfolio, right? Sweet demo would look pretty good in a portfolio, and showing what I can actually do inside of an org looks good in a portfolio. So those are all great examples. I wanted to jump back to a theme that we just heard from Amy also. And when we think about Amy, I didn't hear you say you put in hundreds of applications, right? I didn't hear you say that you were necessarily doing a lot of online networking. We heard a lot of networking, just you wanted to go out into the world. Obviously, I assume you would call yourself an extrovert.
Honestly, actually, no. I have certain moments where I'm an extrovert because I get really passionate and excited to be around people, but I also really enjoy my alone time. Maybe I'm kind of in the middle. I used to say I was an introvert, but it just really depends on the situation.
So either way, you enjoyed getting out there into the world and like being with people and doing that and like in real life. And obviously, Anita was saying, like, you in real life is awesome. So I think that's probably, I would say, for your personality, is a great way to network. Let people see me, because then they're going to see me and they're going to know I should work for them. But what I will say is I saw a lot of perseverance, which we saw across everyone we've talked to today. And I think that's getting back to the beginning of this, right? Like getting back to how we kicked off this episode. And we were talking about the market is tighter than it was a few years ago, right? And you're not going to see that. I mean, I would be blown away if you see some of those. I wrote a LinkedIn post and we've heard those stories. And Anita, like your job landed story, do you recall how I can't quite recall exactly, but I remember something along the lines of you putting yourself out there, I believe, on LinkedIn, and just something kind of, it felt kind of magical that it kind of came together, right?
Yeah. I mean, hearing these stories, I feel guilty that I had it so easy. It was late 2020, early 2021. I think I maybe put in like one or two. And that was when I was just getting started talking. I was like, oh, let me see what's out there and just throw something out there. So I never heard from those companies. I got my job from commenting on someone else's post. Someone had posted about a job fair. Still, my current boss had like commented underneath like, oh, I wish I knew about this because we're looking for people. He was looking for someone with 5+ years experience. And I was like, oh, well, at least let me like this to bring him up in the algorithm and maybe someone else who can get the job can get it. But just because I did that, he looked at my LinkedIn, was really impressed. And then it happened so fast. It was within a couple of days. I jumped on a call with him. We connected on our backgrounds. We both had like a hotel management background. So he kind of knew my work ethic from there. Next day in the morning, I met with his partner. I met with their clients that afternoon, and I had the job offer like that weekend.
You can hear the contrast, right? That's not happening today. But what Anita just described, and in my mind, and you can take this, you know, how you will, Anita didn't describe a normal job market, right? That's like mega booming. That description of somebody commented, oh, I wish I'd known about a job fair. I like that. And then somebody be like, okay, cool. You like that? Well, I got a job offer for you. That's not an example of a normal job market. That is popping. Like, that is hot. So it doesn't mean when that's not happening, saturation, no jobs available, no one can get a job, give up, hope, run, right? There's a huge middle ground between those two things. And I think what we're experiencing now is the middle ground. I would say a relatively normal job market. We're not talking about getting a master's degree in XYZ field in order to be considered for a role and sacrificing 4 years of your life or 6 years of your life to even meet the minimum criteria to be allowed to apply for jobs. Like, that's not where we're at, right? And so most people, even you want to be a school teacher, which there's been a lot of, you know, in that arena, there's been a lot of like, this is a tough job. We are underpaid. We are underappreciated. We go into work every day. We work extra hours. We have parents calling us and basically telling us we have to do XYZ. And then it's like, oh, yeah, but you also have to go to school and get a degree and then do a year of free interning before you're even allowed to apply for jobs. Oh, and then go get certificates for the field of study you're going to teach in. And we just talked about a very fundamental job in the economy, right? Inside of the job economy. Now compare that contrast to a horror story of 100 job applications and a year of searching and multiple interviews and multiple job offers, right? So now when we contrast these two things, and that is not a fair, it is never fair to generalize two things against each other, right? It's not apples to apples, obviously. There's a lot of things missing in that. But I think when we come back and we get real with ourselves and we go, what if, Anita, maybe I'm going out of my way, maybe you were a little bit spoiled in that process, right? Like that was pretty cool, right? But because somebody doesn't have that same experience doesn't mean it's just chaos and it's awful and it's all just doom and gloom. It means that things change and we adapt and we find ways forward. And I think you guys have expressed, our guests today have expressed incredible ways forward. And I think coming back to this last story we heard from Amy, it was, we don't expect listeners to go out and become leaders in their local Salesforce communities and be the admin user group like leader, right? Or start your own admin user group. We don't expect you to become the co-developer user group leader in your local community group. Obviously, the people sitting here are a prime example of incredible talent, right? Like we're talking about incredible people, incredible stories, incredible perseverance. These could just have as easily been stories of giving up. I can't do this. I'll settle. I'll take a job doing something. I'll move back in with whoever. I'll get roommates. That could be the way the story ends. And that is the way a lot of stories end. But the difference that you're seeing here are people who, they are the ones. They are the ones. And you might be the one listening right now. Are you the one who says, you know what? The going got tough. I don't know if I really want this like that. I don't know if I want this like bad, like that. You know what? Maybe that remote job, maybe that six-figure income, maybe that respect at work, maybe that flexibility, maybe that career growth. Maybe I don't need all that, right? Maybe I don't need time with my family and freedom to travel and all those things. You might really say, I don't need all that. And so you may not want to do something hard, but you may say, today is hard. What I'm doing right this moment is hard. If I don't move forward with this Salesforce journey, my situation is already hard. So I need to do something hard to get to a point that is not hard, that is better, that is improved. And so somebody said this in the past, they said, choose your hard, right? If you have two hard things in front of you, choose the hard thing that's going to lead to the better thing, right? And we know, I think everyone sitting here would say, I found a better thing. I'm not going to call anybody out, but you know, I know one of these people are like, yeah, I doubled my income. Right? Like that was wild. I didn't work from home and now I do. I didn't feel respected at my job. I didn't feel like I had a path forward. And now the sky's the limit. This is wild, right? So there's so many of those parallels. So don't go out. It's not go start a user group because Amy started a user group. It's not apply for 100 jobs because Ali applied for 100 jobs. We're not saying mimic these people, but what we are saying is you might want to consider being one of those individuals who, when the going gets tough, you focus up. And you say, you know what? I'm stepping forward. I don't know what forward is. I don't know if I'm headed in the right direction at this very moment, but I am stepping forward. And I know I'm going to get where I'm going if I keep going forward. And it might be one step away. You know, we've heard those stories of people who are about to give up. And then 2 weeks later, they get the job, right? And it's like, what? Like it was right in front of me. It was that close and I almost stopped. And you never know when that moment's about to happen. So I think the best advice that I can give to anyone, and I think that we're hearing resonated repeatedly through these stories, is keep moving forward. Ask for help. Get mentorship. Build a demo jam. You know what? Maybe you'll have a mentor and it didn't pan out the way you thought it would. Maybe you'll build a demo and do demo jam and it won't pan out the way you thought it would. And you'll go, oh, they said demo jam and now I still don't have a job, right? But one step forward, keep challenging yourself. Keep doing one thing different. And I can pretty well guarantee you that you are going to find success and you may have to exercise patience. And somebody else in our group is told, like, this is what I mean when I've learned so much from everyone else, is that there's a big difference between a lot of people think in two choices. And I thought this way a lot of times. You're either chasing your goals or you're quitting. But there's a middle ground there. There's taking a break. There's taking your foot off the gas for a second. There's recuperating, regenerating, resting, getting prepared, thinking up a new plan, changing the scheme a little bit, like figuring out how we move forward. I would just encourage you, move forward. Find your next step forward. And please don't give up on the Salesforce journey because it is worth it to take that next step.
Yeah. We have a whole room to show as evidence that it's worth it.
No regrets, right?
No regrets. I just want to reiterate, you don't have to start a user group like I did. Like, even just getting involved in those user groups or trying to meet other people in the Salesforce ecosystem, because even the other people, like Ali had said, she found her Salesforce buddy. She found someone who they could work together and have the same goal, not the exact same goal maybe, but the goal to reach their Salesforce career goal, whatever that is. And I think I found those people within the Salesforce community groups, also within Talent Stacker, of course. Being here at this camp this weekend, I made a lot of great friends with people who I'd just seen on LinkedIn. And there's so many people to support you when it gets hard.
I think one thing I would like to add is I know there's a lot of introverts out there. And speaking as an introvert, networking was exceptionally difficult for me. Even as a former teacher, getting in front of students is completely different from walking up to somebody or sending that DM on LinkedIn to a hiring manager and saying, "Hi, this is who I am. I know you don't know who the heck I am, but you know, I'd like to really work for you." That was hard, and that took me months to even take that first step, let alone, I don't even think even now I've anywhere near mastered it, but taking that first step is the hardest one. Just do it. And speaking to Amy's point about user groups, I joined my local user group and it took a couple of meetings for me to really start talking to people and find people willing to help me, give me advice, you know, take a look at my resume. And working with them, working at the local dreaming event as a volunteer, was really able to also build my confidence in the same way building did. And it made me more confident in myself in terms of networking. It wasn't just about getting a job. It was about building the strong relationships in this already powerful ecosystem, because you never know who's going to be that person that notices you and says, "You know what? I realize that this person doesn't have a job. That's not cool. Let's see what I can do to help them." And now that I'm in my role, that's something I'd like to do for other people in this ecosystem.
Right between my two cycles of interviewing, I was able to have some coffee chats with some other BAs, and that really helped me to narrow in and focus and decide that I wanted to target consultancies and specifically BA roles. So that really helped me and was very important for getting me to the job offer.
Our goal for this episode is to help anyone out there who's going through it and is about to quit. We hope these stories inspire you to keep going.
Yeah, I think just to know that other people experience hard things too. Like, a lot of times on LinkedIn, we just see the job landed post, right? We celebrate. It's beautiful. We all like it. 100 people say congratulations, you know, all the things. There's a very real journey that happens before we get there. And everyone's journey has some type, most people's. I mean, most people's journey has some type of true struggle where they have to step up and they have to say, "Why am I here? What am I doing?" Sometimes that happens. We've talked to people here at camp. That happens after they land the job. They get the job. And they're like, "Oh my goodness, like here I am and I got what I asked for and I don't know if this is what I wanted." And that's life, right? That's life. Oh, I want kids. Oh my goodness, kids are tough. Oh, I want to be old enough to do this. Oh my goodness, getting old is tough. All these things happen over time and things are tough. And we achieve the most incredible goals and they're not what we thought they were. We reach for like the highest points. And there are struggles to get there. And even once you get there, guess what? I bet nobody thinks their life is perfect, right? Nobody's like, "I achieved all the goals and now everything's perfect." It doesn't happen. So just do hard things, like challenge yourself, enjoy that journey a little bit as much as you can. Salesforce has an abundance of community. And that's really special because it means we don't have to do this by ourselves. So if you're doing this by yourself, just know that that's a choice you're making. And there are a lot of people out here that want to welcome you in, even if, like Ali said, it takes you a couple of times to speak up, to loosen up, to find that person, and you'll find them. I mean, I'm watching Allie here at camp, and she has like real relationships with people. You know what I mean? So it's like, if you are an introvert, there is a place for you. There is a really special place for you and amazing connections to be made. So like, get out there. That's how you're going to get started.
And another way to get started is heading over to talentstacker.com/start to take the 5-day challenge.
And if you're listening to this podcast and you're enjoying what you're listening to, number one, we appreciate you. We would also appreciate you taking a moment to subscribe on whatever platform you're listening on. And if you have the time, go ahead and leave one of those 5-star reviews. We like those best. Just let us know. That lets the platform and other listeners know that this is a great podcast. We definitely appreciate our guests. And thank you guys for coming on and spending some time with us. And until the next episode, bye.
Thank you for joining us today. To get started for free on your own Salesforce career, go to talentstacker.com/start or check the show notes. There you'll find all the resources you need to start earning $60,000 to $80,000 in as little as 8 months, no matter your education or career background. The Salesforce for Everyone podcast was produced by Edmund T. and engineered by Andrew Mendonza. If you like what we do at this scrappy can-do podcast, please help others find us by leaving a 5-star rating and a great review on whichever platform you're listening to us right now. See you next time.